You hear a knock on the door and open it to find two friendly representatives from The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, otherwise known as the Mormon Church. What will you say? Will you send them away without a Christian witness, or will you engage them in a meaningful and Christ-honoring conversation? If you desire the latter, may we suggest the book, Answering Mormons Questions by Bill McKeever and Eric Johnson. Answering Mormons Questions is available at the Utah Christian Research Center, 579 West Galena Park Place in Draper, Utah. Viewpoint on Mormonism, the program that examines the teachings of The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints from a biblical perspective. Viewpoint on Mormonism is sponsored by Mormonism Research Ministry. Since 1979, Mormonism Research Ministry has been dedicated to equipping the body of Christ with answers regarding the Christian faith in a manner that expresses gentleness and respect. And now, your host for today's Viewpoint on Mormonism.
How did the God of Mormonism achieve his godhood? Welcome to this edition of Viewpoint on Mormonism. I'm your host, Bill McKeever, founder and director of Mormonism Research Ministry. And with me today is Bradley Campbell. Bradley is the head of an organization titled God Loves Mormons, godlovesmormons.com. He produces a number of videos dealing with anything historical or even doctrinal pertaining to The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. He has produced a video where he asks Latter-day Saints on the street, does God have a God? And so we've been analyzing some of the answers that he received from Latter-day Saints who were willing to at least talk to you on this subject. And you were mentioning earlier that there were some who did not really want to engage you on the streets.
Hundreds did not want to stop and answer, honestly. But the ones who did, I put almost all of them in who were willing to stop and talk with me.
Well, and that answers the question, did you cherry pick? And we talked about that earlier, that you were only trying to purposely show Latter-day Saints to put Mormonism in a bad light. If a Latter-day Saint is saying that, it makes you wonder what they actually believe on this subject. Do they disagree with the answers that you were receiving from a lot of these members, who we assume were faithful members, and they were being honest? And though we have tried very hard on this show to give them the benefit of the doubt, here's a guy just giving them a microphone and asking them a question they haven't had time to prepare. They may have wanted to reword some of the things that they had said after they said it. That's not uncommon. But when we look at basically what they say, it's not all that different from what we've heard by many Latter-day Saints when asked about this question. Does God have a God? Now, one of the answers that you were given gave the impression that not a whole lot has been said about this or hasn't been enough revealed on that. I want to read, as we begin this show, from the book, The Story of the Latter-day Saints. And this is the 1992 edition, and I'm citing from page 183. This was written by two LDS historians, James B. Allen and Glenn M. Leonard. This is what they said on page 183. Joseph Smith taught that man, far from being an enemy or mere tool of God, was actually a God in embryo. The Father had achieved godhood only by going through the same experiences man is now enduring. Having successfully met all tests, he progressed in knowledge and power to become God. In turn, he instructed his spirit children in the plan of salvation before they came to earth and promised them that if they lived faithfully in their mortal life, one day they too might become gods. This was the doctrine of eternal progression, which became another hallmark of the restored gospel. And of course, as we've said many times on this show, when you hear a Latter-day Saint talk about the gospel at all, it's always this restored gospel, or the gospel as taught through their prophet, Joseph Smith.
This quote is so fascinating to me. Specifically this line, the Father had achieved godhood only by going through the same experiences man is now enduring. When I think about the experiences that we endure, I think about the limits that we have as humans. I think about the relationship that we are to have with God, the experience of being his child, as Latter-day Saints would say. So by implication here, if the father had to go through those same experiences, that would mean logically he also had limits as we have, and he had a God who was able to relate to him, teach him, give him the covenant path by which if he followed, he would be exalted. That seems to imply there that he does, in fact, have a God of his own.
And you just went back one generation. We would have to continue going back generation after generation after generation. And this is where we get that term infinite regression of gods, because those principles would have had to have been taught to the one that comes after him. In this case, we're talking about Elohim, who is the one that Latter-day Saints say that they believe in. This is why I have a real problem with this idea that some have been advancing that the God of Mormonism is the author of eternal law. Mm-hmm. He can't possibly be the author of eternal law, because eternal law, even the priesthood, according to Mormonism, precedes God becoming a God, at least this God that Mormons are worshiping here on this planet. I mean, we have to make that very clear, and I know that can be very confusing, and it's kind of like, why do you even have to explain that? Well, because Mormonism can be very complicated, very confusing, and very contradicting at times. And sometimes in order to get these thoughts across, we have to analyze them point by point if they're going to make any semblance of sense at all to us. Actually, when you look at what Joseph Smith was teaching and what James B. Allen and Glenn M. Leonard are relating, it doesn't make a lot of sense to us.
Yeah. Bill, you were just telling me a little bit ago that there was a conference talk in which it was put forth that their God, Elohim, was the author of eternal law. And you just made reference to that. Now, that idea to me is so fascinating and seems to be such a problem, because so much of the plan of salvation, of all these different steps of what had to take place in order for us to be able to be exalted, seems contingent on what the eternal law declares. We need to become human. We need to have bodies, physical bodies. We have these ordinances that have to be done by physical bodies, not just because that's what God decided, but because that is what eternal law states. Now, I have actually, with some Latter-day Saints, talked with them about eternal law, and I've argued that in some odd sense, eternal law is really the God of Mormonism. Eternal law stands, at least in how I've had some people explain it to me, stands above and beyond God. It is truly timeless, truly unchanging. Now, it lacks consciousness. It lacks any kind of personal element to it. But it is the thing that truly is the determiner of the cosmos. And in that sense, I have argued that seems more like what a true God is than just your exalted man that happens to be our spirit father.
Let me read you something from the Encyclopedia of Mormonism. This is volume 3. Pages 1020 to 1021. Part of God's purpose in designing mortal life for his children was to prove them herewith, to see if they will do all things whatsoever the Lord their God shall command them. They cite Abraham 3:25 and Doctrine and Covenants 98:14. It goes on to say, passing such a test is necessary for one to progress to become like God, because he himself lives in accordance with laws and principles of justice, citing there from Alma 42:22 through 26 in the Book of Mormon. Thus, obedient to divine law is essential to eternal progression, and those who live obediently in this life will, quote, have glory added upon their heads forever and ever, end quote, citing from the Book of Abraham 3:26. Now, of course, we can spend a lot of time in any recitation from the Book of Abraham becomes spurious, because we know now the church has admitted that Joseph Smith's translation of the Egyptian papyrus into the Book of Abraham was not really a traditional translation at all. It was more of a spiritual translation, which means Joseph Smith can say whatever he wants. But there's some things in this that I think we need to dissect. It talks about God having to pass this test, and we have to pass the same test. Well, like you have just said, Bradley, if there's these things that they must do in order to pass this test, then where did they come from? They must have preceded the God that Mormons claim to worship now, which would obviously mean that he had to have a God that preceded him. While God, as Joseph Smith claimed, was just a man at some point who was running things before him.
Right.
Well, Mormons don't have a problem with that most of the time. They'll just say, well, there was another God that preceded him. Well, who is that God? And they'll say, well, we don't know. We don't know of any God further back than the one we call Heavenly Father or Elohim. So such an important doctrine as this, they don't have a lot of details. And it goes back to my complaint that I raised earlier in the week. I don't want some offspring of this God way down the road, separated by generations. We want the God that started it all. And of course, we believe the God of the Bible is that God. Just as it reads in Psalm 90, verse 2, that God was God from everlasting to everlasting, I might point out that it reads the same way in the Joseph Smith translation. Before the mountains were brought forth, or ever thou hast formed the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, thou art God. That gives the impression that God was always God from everlasting to everlasting.
Yeah, I think of Malachi chapter 3, verse 6, where God says, for I, the Lord, do not change. We have a very similar kind of sentiment there, that God has eternally been who he is. He's not once been like we are. From everlasting to everlasting, that's as far in either direction as you go in time. God has been who he is. You know, I even ironically have interacted with missionaries who use the phrase, God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And I have to chuckle a little bit to myself when they say that, because within Mormonism, that just isn't true. God wasn't the same yesterday. He was once a man yesterday. Whereas in Christianity, indeed, God was the same yesterday, today, and forever. Now, the actual text comes from Hebrews 13 that they're kind of referencing, and that text says that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever, which I think speaks to the deity of the Lord Jesus Christ. But nonetheless, within Mormonism, they seem to like this idea that God is eternal and unchanging. They seem to really want that. They yearn for that. Even with the answers I got in this video, people seemed uncomfortable to have to admit that God was not always God, that he has a God above himself. People don't like that. I think it grates against their consciences. We have built into us this sense that God is ultimate and almighty, that he is the uncreated creator, the unchanging, maximally great being. And when they violate that because they're trying to be consistent with the sense they have of Mormon doctrine, I think they violate their own consciences. And I think that expresses itself in some of their wariness to answer confidently.
We've been talking with Bradley Campbell. He's with GodLovesMormons.com, produces a number of videos on the subject of doctrine and history pertaining to the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. Tomorrow, we're going to wrap up our talk with Bradley as we look into the question that he asked on the street, does God have a God?
Thank you for listening. If you would like more information regarding Mormonism Research Ministry, we encourage you to visit our website at www.mrm.org, where you can request our free newsletter, Mormonism Researched. We hope you will join us again as we look at another viewpoint on Mormonism.